Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Perhaps one of the sad realities of humanity in this 21st century is that throughout all the world, we still remain a divided people. We're divided by colour, by race, divided by wealth, divided by power, divided by religion, and I guess you could make a pretty long list of it, what divides us. And if we took a few moments to look back into our history, we would find that this, unfortunately, has always been the case. We like to think it would be different in this 21st century, but sadly it's not. Despite all our endeavours, all our experiences, all our advancements in technology and education, we are sadly still as divided today as ever we were. Today I want to share some thoughts from the epistle reading which talks about being united in Christ. United in Christ. We don't see much evidence of the world being united, although perhaps for the past 3 weeks we had a little glimpse of that, didn't we? For 3 weeks we watched a soccer team who had become trapped in a cave through circumstances, and we watched the world unite on one of those rare occasions in human history where the sole purpose was to rescue these boys. People of different races, dare I say colour, dare I say religion, dare I say profession, dare I say no religion, came together as an act of humanity and did the near impossible. Sadly, we did lose one soul. United. Just imagine if we were able to repeat that. Just once a year I'll settle for. How united, what we could achieve. But it's yesterday's news, isn't it? It's gone. It's fallen off the radar. You're not going to see it on the Channel 7 or 10 or 9 or ABC, whoever you watch. You might get an occasional glimpse. Such a shame. Humanity uniting in such a unique way with such a blessed outcome. Truly beyond what they expected. Even the divers said in their interviews, they were saying, gee, if we only lose 3 or 4, that'll be pretty good. I'll be really happy with that. United. You witnessed a rare glimpse of humanity working for a common cause. Because we're such a divided people, sadly as it is. This morning in the writer in our text, Paul is writing to a little church in Ephesus, a new Christian church that's been established, and they've sort of got up and running, got together a group, and they're growing. But even in the enthusiasm and even with the activity of the Holy Spirit being so prominent amongst them, Paul's writing to them because they have become divided. Now, we don't know in this particular text what it was specifically that was dividing them. We know that certain things were floating around. But in this little bit of text that he writes to, he doesn't say, now I'm going to talk to you about this and this, and get your acting together. No, Paul decides to focus on not what divides them, but what in essence unites them. The people in Ephesus are reminded from Paul that in Christ they are no longer a divided people, but in fact have been united together in Christ. Now, that sounds reasonably comfortable. As we know what Paul is talking about, or what is meant when you say we are united in Christ. I guess if I gave you a piece of paper, you could write down what you thought that meant. It's not coming out of left field. It's something that we are familiar with. But that wasn't the case when Paul wrote to this new church. You see, the church, when we know when Jesus lived upon the earth, the people were divided then as they are today. The Roman Empire had long conquered them and put them under their rule. Not only were they under the authority of other people, but also there was division in religious differences. The Romans worshipped their pagan gods, the Greeks their gods, the Greeks also their philosophical thinking. And the Jews, of course, they worshipped, as they were called to, the one true God. So this is a healthy reminder, not only for them, but also for us as comfortable Christians, that we are indeed united in Christ. Paul writes to the Christians, the Jews, the Greeks, the Romans, the atheists who might have come to the answer the gospel, and assures them that in Christ they are not a divided people, but are one in unity with Christ. We sometimes like to think that these things were all smooth sailing for the early church. But these people came from all walks of life, some from religious backgrounds, some from non-religious backgrounds, some from different cultural settings, some from different social levels. And they all came together being drawn by the gospel. But as they came together and was drawn by the gospel, those inherited values of life, those things which had set them on the course through the path of their life, those environments that they had all grown up with, also came along with them. And once the enthusiasm, the joyous response to the gospel had settled, then it was that these old things that divided them started to come to the surface. We know even Peter and Paul didn't see eye to eye on certain things in their endeavour to reveal the gospel. And there are times when the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, corrects Peter, corrects Paul, and puts them on the right track, just like God corrected Job so long ago, when Job thought he had it all worked out. These divisions were beginning to tear the people apart. As I said, division is not new to us, is it? Division such as the Roman Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland. A couple of years ago, Betty and I journeyed through Northern Ireland. I can assure you, they mightn't be throwing sticks at each other or stones or shooting each other or bombing each other, but there is plenty there. Walls are put up, places are fenced off, still with the animosity that divides them. Divisions such as the Jews and the Palestinians, the Middle East, always bubbling to the surface as they are at the moment. Divisions such as the Hindus, the Muslims in India and Pakistan. Divisions such as Christians and the Muslims in Indonesia. Yes, division, dare I even suggest, here in Australia between what I would say the residents and the refugees. There are many things that divide us, aren't there? So what do we do? What do we look for that can unite us? We are known throughout the world, Australians, as a multicultural country. And praise God that we are a multicultural country. But with that also comes division, doesn't there? So we need something to hold us together. As Christians, we know that the law of God, by its very nature, exposes our failures, our inability to keep the law. The law makes us aware of our sins and a conscious reality that they divide us from God. Not as God intended. You know, when a person is fanatical about keeping the law of God, as were the Pharisees, then sadly, I believe, they fail to recognise the true purpose of the law, just as much as a person who has no regard for God's law. One of the delights that I found in becoming a pastor in the Lutheran Church was our attitude to what is called law and gospel. Now, I don't want to give you a lesson on theology, but it's a wonderful attitude towards the Word of God, which endeavours to hold law and gospel in balance. Both law and gospel are part of our salvation. It's not either or, but indeed the entirety of the entire aspect of law and gospel. I wonder how many closet Pharisees we have here this morning. Those who hold to the law. Or perhaps you might be one who considers that the law restricts the gospel and we have no room for it, for that restricts the love of God. And if there are a few of you floating out there like that, does that divide us? Does it unite us? We're all endeavouring to be faithful to the word of God, are we not? But it's easy to stand there, and it's easy to stand there. I know there's a fair mob of you in the middle, but those are the things that divide us. The world out there sees the law as being necessary to bring about stability, good order, and peace. And I'm sure if we didn't have the law, we would be in a far bigger mess than what we are at the moment. It's meant to remove the divisions that set us apart. It's meant to unite us in a common bond as we uphold the law and live within the law. And yet, if you look at all those troubled spots that I mentioned briefly a little while ago, you'll find that no matter what laws they put in place, what conditions they put in place, it's not too far down the track when a wheel falls off the wagon. And there we are, once again, divided. This morning, our reading, as we share it here in St. Mark's, Paul reminds us as Christians not what it is that truly unites us, not what it is that truly unites us, but who it is that truly unites us. I want to read you again verses 14 to 18. Begins by saying, "For he himself," and I'm going to substitute Jesus because that's who Paul is speaking about. He says, "For Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Paul's inclined to be a bit long-winded when he says something, but that's what he says. Then he goes on to say, "Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit." It is not what who divides us, who unites us. It is indeed the who unites us. I once had a chat with a man about the Christian faith. He said he was a Christian. I had no reason to doubt that. He said he was a Christian, but he didn't belong to any particular denomination. And I guess that's a debate in itself. And as we talked about what he saw as his Christian faith, it became evident to myself, and I don't mean to be judgmental, that he saw the law and the gospel, but he saw the law as primarily being a moral code. He was happy to acknowledge that God gave it to us and that Jesus came and explained that law and lived that law out, fulfilling every dot and tittle. But his faith was built upon more about a moral code, doing the right thing, being honest, being loving, being caring, all good and fine qualities of humanity, which I can't argue with. But he had no real connection other than the acknowledgement that both God and Jesus had been involved in giving this moral code, and it was up to him to fulfill it. As I said, I'm not sitting in judgment of the person. In fact, I would say he probably could have got a job with the Pharisees quite well. Okay? Maybe not as radical as they were, but therein lied the essence of salvation was through God had told him how to do it and what to do. It was up to him to do it. Why then did God give us the law if we couldn't keep it? Because that's something we did agree on. That it's jolly hard to keep the law, as try, as sincerely as we might. So why did God give us the law in the first place? Well, that's a whole debate in itself. Here Paul reminds us that those things which divide us will always be with us in this time, in our time on earth. But the thing that unites us is the one thing that not only unites us now and here, today, but also forevermore. Jesus came to take from us the accusation of the law which reveals our sin. He did this by defeating the power of sin, which was death, and bringing to us, giving to us forgiveness and a newness of life, taking away the sin that divided us from God and uniting us as one with him. For those who are one with Christ, there is no division, only unity. Doesn't mean that we shan't struggle with sin, nor that the law shall not accuse us, for we live in our present state. The comfort of the Christian faith does not rest on keeping of the law, nor in doing any good works, no matter what moral code a person may choose to live by. Our comfort and our assurance is being united in Christ and in Christ alone. As we come again to the Lord's table, having received the forgiveness of sins, accepting the healing power of the body and blood of Christ, God removes that which divides us from him and unites us as one in Christ. Praise God. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.